Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Archuleta, Atkins, Bates, Becker, Borges, Bradford, Caballero, Cortese, Daly, Dodd, DeRosso, Eggman, Glazer, Gonzalez, Grove, Hertzberg, Hueso, Hurtado, Jones, Camlogger, Laird, Leyva, Limon, McGuire, Melendez, Min, Newman, Nielsen, Ochoa Vogue, Pan, Portantino, Roth, Rubio, Skinner, Stern, Umberg, Wykowski, Wiener, Wilk.
Thank you. Good morning. A quorum is present. Would the members and our guests be on the rail and in the gallery, please rise. We will be led in prayer this morning by Senator DeRosso, after which please remain standing and will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Senator Dodd. Senator DeRosso.
Thank you, Mr. President. God of all peoples and nations, today we remember that Cinco de Mayo commemorates the Mexican victory over superior French forces at the Battle of Puebla on May 5, 1862, and we honor the hope and determination of the Mexican people, then and now. As we celebrate Cinco de Mayo today, while we enjoy the music and food, may we appreciate the contributions of Mexican culture in the areas of business, politics, science, technology, religion, art, and much more. We pray that in all our current challenges, we will not give up when failure appears imminent. May we count on our internal strength and in the power of your presence. May we all work together to build a society of equity and justice as we strive to defend those who need your protection, strength, and encouragement. We invite your healing presence in the face of all earthly troubles, past, present, and to come. Amen.
With that beautiful prayer in our minds and our hearts, please join me in a pledge to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We're going to move to privileges of the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, if we can bring our attention to the floor, please. We have guests joining us this morning. We're going to recognize Senator Caballero first to introduce some guests she has in the gallery. Senator Caballero.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, in 2002, AB 1045 was signed into law to test an approach that would provide immediate and measurable relief to create access to preventative medical health care. The bill has created the Doctors from Mexico pilot program, which provides an opportunity for 30 doctors from Mexico who meet specific criteria to practice medicine in federally funded community health centers in farm worker communities. The program was designed to address the problems with access to culturally competent primary medical care and the ever-worsening health disparities. After many exhaustive years, about two decades in fact, we finally have reached the stage where our physicians are here. Believe it or not, it took 20 years. They are ready to serve patients in vulnerable communities who need help the most. Today, I am really excited to acknowledge those who are here in the gallery today, the Doctors from Mexico program. Members, please join me in providing a warm Senate welcome to these doctors and extend our sincerest appreciation as well as our gratitude. They are here today to help California address our need for primary health care.
Welcome to the California State Senate. We are honored that you are joining us here this morning. We're going to move on to messages from the governor, which will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read and amendments adopted. Members, we're going to move to motions, resolutions, and notices. Pursuant to Senate Rule 2910C, the following bills are referred to the Committee on Rules, File Item 86, AB 421. Are there any members wishing to be recognized for motions and resolutions? Senator Umberg, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I request unanimous consent to suspend the Senate rules and take up Assembly Bill 35 out of order.
Seeing no objection, the motion is adopted. Senate rules are suspended. Members, we're going to move quickly this morning. We have a few things to do. And if we can bring your attention to the floor, please, that would be greatly appreciated. We're going to go to the consideration of the daily file. Secretary, please read.
Senate bills 1085 with amendments, 1155 with amendments, 1279 with amendments, 1380 with amendments, 1118 with amendments, Senate Bill 1035, 1079, 1260, 1323, 1024, 1159, 1405, and Assembly Bill 35.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Members, we're going to move to Assembly third reading. We're taking up file item 13, AB 35. We're going to recognize Senator Umberg to present the opening on AB 35, file item 13. We'll wait till we have everybody's attention. Senator Umberg, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. President and members.
I got ahead of myself. Secretary, please read.
Assembly Bill 35 by Assemblymember Reyes, an act relating to civil damages.
Senator Umberg.
Thank you, Ms. President. I can understand your haste. We want to make sure that we take this up before someone changes their mind on this historic compromise. I am pleased, privileged, and honored to be able to present AB 35 on behalf of myself and Assemblymember Reyes. This bill represents a long overdue reform to the Medical Injury Compensation Reform Act, known as MICRA. It's been unchanged for nearly five decades. Just as a point of personal privilege, when I think back to when I first came to the legislature 32 years ago, this was a big issue 32 years ago, and it has remained such for the last umpteen decades. And I think back on those who attempted to in some way modify it, some way to reform it, Senators Lockyer and Roberti, Assemblymembers Eisenberg, Speaker Willie Brown. This is a compromise that provides a balanced, equitable solution for patients and medical professionals. It will keep healthcare accessible and affordable while balancing appropriate compensation for Californians experiencing healthcare-related injury or death. This bill will extend the long-term predictability and affordability of medical professional liability insurance for those providing medical care in California and provide a fair and reasonable increase to limits on non-economic damages in medical negligence cases. Current law, as I think you know, limits plaintiffs recovered to $250,000 non-economic damages, regardless of the number of defendants. This bill increases the cap for non-death cases from $250,000 to $350,000 and continues to increase that ceiling to $750,000 over 10 years. The cap for wrongful death cases would increase from $250,000 to $500,000 and continues to increase to $1 million after 10 years. Subsequent to the cap increases in 2033, a 2% COLA will kick in starting January 1, 2034, and will adjust the caps annually. We'll also establish new discovery and evidentiary protection for all pre-litigation expressions of sympathy, regret, or benevolence, including statements of fault by a healthcare provider. So, for example, if a physician should express sympathy for an injured individual, that is excluded from evidence. AB 35 also creates three separate categories of defendants for three possible caps, one cap for healthcare providers, one cap for healthcare institutions, one cap for an unaffiliated healthcare provider or healthcare institution that commits a separate negligent act. The bill has passed unanimously through Judiciary Committee and has no registered opposition. I want to just take a moment to thank those who had worked so hard and so well in achieving this compromise. The Californians Allied for Patient Protection, the Consumer Attorneys of California, the California Hospital Association, the California Medical Association, and certain individuals who really deserve recognition. Mr. Nick Rowley and Charles Johnson, leaders of the Fairness for Injured Patients Initiative, Dr. Robert Wales, president of the California Medical Association, Ms. Lisa Moss, executive director of California's Allied for Patient Protection, Greg Campbell, Leanne Tratton, and of course, Nancy Drabble and Craig Peters, leaders of the Consumer Attorneys of California. This will go down as something that we'll all remember. We passed thousands of bills, and only but a handful are those that change Californians in dramatic ways, and this is one of them. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Uberg. Opening discussion and debate. Senator Rubio, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. Today, I rise in strong support of AB 35 as a co-author. For decades, policymakers and stakeholders have worked and struggled to reach an agreement on this important issue on how to best protect patients. This year, we are accomplishing remarkable work. I'm so encouraged by this collaboration and our ability as Californians to show that good public policy can come from putting political differences and views aside to do the right thing and not doubling down. I want to thank the good senator from Santa Ana, the assemblywoman, and all the stakeholders from consumer attorneys to Lisa Mai and all other stakeholders that made this possible. This historic agreement will protect the rights of injured patients, and it also strikes an important balance to ensure long-term predictability and affordability. So today I encourage all my colleagues on this floor to support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rubio. Senator Penn.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senators. First of all, I too want to join my colleagues in thanking the participants who came up with this very important historic agreement in relation to addressing liability. And I hope that, again, this is a collaboration and agreement between healthcare providers who take care of patients and the trial attorneys. And I hope and that the participants' agreement, they have committed that this is an agreement that will endure. So certainly we here in the legislature have had to deal with either one side or the other, asking us to make modifications and so forth. But this is a mutual agreement that hopefully will, again, I say, endure, and that we will not have to see future bills showing up here without agreement between all the parties who agreed to this agreement. So I think that's very important. I also want to make note, though, is that certainly it's important to recognize that, first of all, there was never, ever, even with MICRA, a limit on economic damages. Never, ever, ever. So that will remain also continue to remain true in this agreement, but this agreement's lifting caps on non-economic damages. So in other words, we need to keep in mind that patients, when they're injured, they will always get full compensation for injury. Had it before, will continue to have it under this agreement as well. So I think it's a very important thing to remember. Second of all, you know, to be honest, as a physician, this will put upward pressure because we're raising the caps on healthcare costs. This will raise the overhead costs, the liability costs for clinics, hospitals, and physicians. But it does do it in a way that is predictable and manageable in the terms of this agreement. So that will minimize those cross pressures and cost increases, and that's why this deal is also so very important as well. The alternative would have been much higher, potentially higher increases and less predictable ones, which could put major pressure, especially as we're struggling with trying to control healthcare costs. So this deal does achieve, while it certainly has certain effects, it certainly is one that will lead to a better solution moving forward. And again, want to thank the parties who came together to make this agreement, and certainly we'll be supporting it here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Pan. Senator Laird.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I really appreciate the comments that have been made, and I really appreciate the history that came from Chair Umberg on this. I had my own history, which is when I went to work for the County of Santa Cruz as the health analyst in 1974, we were in the middle of having physicians in our area go bare without insurance. And we, in fact, had we had to hire nurse midwives as county nurse midwives because there were OBGYNs that were going without insurance and that the actual delivery of service was threatened. And there, of course, has been a debate about whether that was a manipulation of the market or that was genuine, but it was what was happening. And so the microcap was agreed to as a compromise then, and yet the compromise was the 250,000 cap on the portion that was mentioned, and yet if you look at what the economic value of that 250,000 is now, it is roughly $50,000. And so while there's no limit on the economic damages, the limit on this part was keeping people from getting representation. That was the real issue that happened here. And for those of us sitting on this floor, we had the issues of when I was in a legislative race in 2010, just the fact that I said this should be indexed as a cap led to a major independent expenditure against me in that race. When I was running a year and a half ago, I basically said, we shouldn't move on this unless everyone's in the table. And that is what just happened. And so in saluting everybody for this, I think the interesting thing is this was kept secret as long as it was. This is Sacramento. Amazingly, it didn't float out there that these negotiations were going on for a long time. And that is significant because I think if it had, it would have been hard for some of the players to hold their people in line. And it gave them a chance, once a deal was reached, to convince them that this was in their long-term interest. And when we were in the Judiciary Committee, I was all prepared to speak to opponents. And I thought there would be random opponents that, for different reasons, because of their own interests, thought that they couldn't support this. But when the chair called for witnesses, there was nobody in the room, and there was nobody on the phone line. That is monumental, that something that is this big does not have any real opposition. And I appreciate the previous speakers naming who was involved in this, because I think for the consumer attorneys and for the California Medical Association in particular, although Californians allied for protection, were also significant, along with everyone in the doctor's company, Consumer Watch, and the proponent of the ballot measure, who I think, as much as we like to think that a ballot measure doesn't force a solution, it really helped. And the reform that the legislature made to really allow for somebody to pull back an initiative really was instrumental in making this happen. If that wasn't there, so that right now in this across-the-board agreement, we have the ability to pull that off the ballot, or at least downplay it in a way that's very significant. So this is big, and I think that there are attacks frequently that the legislature or state government doesn't work. This is really an instance where it truly works, where we're having a long-term solution that's of benefit to all the parties, that is going to remove one of the most contentious issues in state government from the table. So I salute everybody that worked on this. I am really proud to be a principal co-author, and I respectively ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Laird. Senator Nielsen.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I come at this from kind of a unique perspective. I've spent my career defending micro, having been almost killed by a doctor's error one time. But my wife and I had no intention of filing a lawsuit. I was very vested in the healthcare institution in my community, and there'd been problems. I became a victim. But we went to work to improve the whole system for everybody, rather than the nonsense, well, I'm using the wrong word, but of a lawsuit. And I feel just a tiny bit betrayed by this compromise. Why? Because I probably longer than anybody have defended MICRA. I understand the circumstances that has fostered this compromise. and it probably has merit, with the exception of the indexing of 2% a year. I don't like indexing. It's very problematic, and it's automatic as well. But I would say we should be cautious, and I may be probably the only one that so voices my opinion on this, but MICRA has served us well over the decades. Maybe it is indeed a new time, and I probably should be one of the most enthusiastic supporters, but today I will be a no vote.
Thank you, Senator Nielsen. Senator Hurtado.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. President. I rise today as a proud co-author of AB 35. I first became interested in this area because of some constituents my first year in office that brought to my attention that there wasn't, and we've known this to be true in the Central Valley, quality care. And when I got more involved and learned more about the stories, I learned that there was a lot of issues that we needed to fix. And just really unfortunate stories that individuals, young women, could still be alive today had we in place a system of healthcare in the Central Valley and probably perhaps throughout the state of California that provides quality care, including in disadvantaged communities. And for this reason, I've been very much in favor of creating changes so that we prevent harm in the first place, that we prevent mistake in the first place, because at the end of the day, it's about getting quality care. And if we provide the resources and the education and the training and everything that we need, I mean, it benefits everyone. So I think that this bill, if someone is injured or dies as a result of care that they receive, their family should be entitled to a reasonable compensation. Even though there is no amount of money that can bring back a loved one or rebuild a life, AB 35 really it increases the amount that families and patients may receive in non-economic damages, a number that has been increased for, you know, that hasn't been increased for nearly 50 years. So increasing these caps are not, it's timely, but it's also the right thing to do. And I'm pleased to be voting in support of this bill today, and I respectfully request you support it as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hurtado. Senator Wachowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. First off, for all the candidates now in 2022 and 2024 and 2026, you're welcome. You're welcome, because they will not know what it was like to many of us here, that what is MICRA and what are we talking about and what are these warring factions, that they just will not have a clue, so you're welcome. The second point is that, as my colleague from Santa Cruz said, this is a big deal, and raising the non-economic amounts is huge, because we treat life and we treat injury the same. But I want to thank each and every one of you, because we were the ones that passed the measure that required this ballot initiative to come back to us. That was a little stroke of genius. And this is, now let's enjoy the fruits of our labor, because otherwise, when that ballot initiative got the certified from the Secretary of State, it went to November, it was on the ballot, and now it's got to come to us, and it created this mediation or this discussion for compromise to be made. So for the lead author, congratulations to you, and congratulations to everybody in this chamber for your wisdom in requiring these ballot initiatives to come back and let cooler heads resolve it. And I urge and I vote.
Thank you, Senator Wachowski. Any other discussion or debate on this item? Any other discussion or debate on AB 35? Seeing none, Senator Umberg, you may close.
Thank you, Mr. President, members, and thank you for the comments. I want to align myself with my colleague from the Bay Area. This is a testament to how the process can work. Next, as to my colleague and friend from Tehama, should this not pass, it doesn't mean that MICRA stays the same. It just means that there's a ballot initiative that much more dramatically changes MICRA than is embodied in this compromise. I would ask that we hurry and vote before anyone changes their mind. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Umberg, with all the confidence he has in his bill. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Archuleta.
Aye.
Aye. Atkins.
Aye.
Aye. Bates.
Aye.
Aye. Becker.
Aye.
Aye. Borges.
Aye.
Aye. Bradford.
Aye.
Caballero.
Aye.
Aye. Cortese.
Aye.
Aye. Daly.
Aye.
Aye. Dodd.
Aye.
Aye. DeRosso.
Aye.
Eggman.
Aye.
Aye. Glazer.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Grove.
Aye.
Hertzberg. Wesso.
Aye.
Hurtado.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Camlogger.
Aye.
Laird.
Aye.
Leyva.
Aye.
Limon.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Melendez.
Aye.
Min.
Aye.
Newman.
Aye.
Nielsen.
No.
Ochoa Bogue.
Aye.
Pan.
Aye.
Portantino.
Aye.
Roth.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Skinner.
Aye.
Stern.
Aye.
Umberg.
Aye.
Wieckowski.
Aye.
Wiener.
Aye.
Wilk.
Ayes 37, noes 1. Measure passes. Congratulations. Members, we're moving back to privileges of the floor. Today, or this morning, Senator Laird has a guest in the gallery. Siri Vaith from the Cystic Fibrosis Research Institute is here for CF Awareness Month. If we can give a warm welcome to Siri Vaith here on cystic fibrosis. Thank you. Members, we're going to move to committee announcements. Senator Umberg, you are recognized for your committee announcement.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, for those of you on Judiciary Committee, we're fortunate to be able to meet today, 20 minutes after the end of session, in room 1200. Be there. I understand, should we go past lunch, that Senator Wiener will be providing lunch. So thank you very much.
Senate Judiciary Committee in room 1200 in the O Street building, 20 minutes after adjournment. If there is no other business, Senator Atkins, the desk is clear.
Mr. President, thank you so much. Totally enjoying this undertone of humor today. I hope we carry it into the next few weeks because it's going to get busier and we're going to have a lot of work to do. But with that, let me just say our next floor session is scheduled for Monday, May 9th, 2022 at 2 p.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Atkins. The Senate will be in recess until 3:30 p.m., at which time the adjournment motion will be placed. We will reconvene on Monday at 2 p.m. We are adjourned.